And so I was crying out to God to show me, you know. And the first thing that God wants to show us is to show us himself. That he is truly a good God, and that his desire is that none of us would be lost, that none of us would be confused, that he's not the author of confusion, that he would clear that up for us, that we would know who we are, whose we are, and where we're headed. That we would have a plan for eternity, not just for the time that we're here, but a perfect plan that he's fashioned for each and every one of us. So I want to spend some time today just talking about that. And that plan starts with this very point, that we would know him, that we would know God in the firmament of his power and the spirit of his truth. And the way we come to know him is by the pardoning of our sins. That our sins be removed from us so that we could be in a relationship with him. And the only way that our sins can be removed from us is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That he died on the cross for you and for me. That we would be back in relationship with God. Because that was taken from us on that fateful day. When Adam fell, all mankind fell. When Adam sinned, all mankind sinned. And we became separated from our Heavenly Father, the one who created us, the one who fashioned us in the womb, the one who knows every hair on our head. And the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made by him. And so he took time with each and every one of us to make us unique, to make us wonderful, to make us something awesome to be beheld. And he loves us. And so as we talk about this walk of life, it's a good understanding for us to have that it's a walk of faith. It's not a walk of sight, of us being able to control everything, of us being able to handle it for ourselves, but it's a walk of faith. To trust him, even when we don't know what tomorrow may have. Even when we can't see the future, even when we don't know all the plans, we trust him. Now, I don't know about you, but that's been a challenge for me at times, to trust him, to just give it over to him, to let him order my steps, to let him decide my way. And so I'm learning something as I continue to walk with the Lord, as I continue to grow with him, is that God's vision is more than my vision. That God can see farther, that he can see higher, he can see deeper, he understands more, he knows more than I could ever fathom. And so God's vision gives us a greater knowledge. It gives us a greater wisdom and understanding of how to live this life. That in Christ we are not in a state of darkness, but we are the children of light. That we no longer walk in darkness, but we walk in light. As David said, God's word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That lamp is going to illuminate right where I am, telling me and so that I know what's going on, where I'm standing. And that light is going to show me the path that I need to be following. And it's because of God that I have that light, that I've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. So believing that God's vision is more than mine, I've adopted this motto that we've talked about today, that we've shared. And this motto is for the Christian, for the believer. But it's important if you haven't believed yet to know who you are. To know that the Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. God wants to give us that gift. Once we have accepted that gift, then I believe that God wants us to let this motto be our drumbeat, be our life's course, that we know who we are, that we know whose we are, and that we know where we're headed. Because when we know who we are, we approach this life totally different. When we know whose we are, we don't trust in ourselves, but we trust in His unchanging hand. And when we know where we're headed, we don't get so twisted up along the journey with His snips and His snares. But we know where we're headed. And we trust that God will see us through, amen. So let's take a moment and talk about that. Who are you? Have you ever asked yourself that question? I remember as a teenager, we tried to figure that out a lot often, didn't we? Who are we? And we may say, well, you know, I'm not one of the cool kids. I'm probably not one of the studious kids. Maybe I'm one of the jocks. Maybe I'm a sports guy. And so we spend a lot of time trying to answer that very question, who are you? And maybe some of you were like me, that you would just kind of examine your life, and there was a lot of negativity that you would look at, and you would, you know, maybe you would look at your stature of the size you are. I remember when my mom told me when I was born, I was 2 pounds, 3 ounces. I'm like, what can 2 pounds, 3 ounces do in this world? And maybe, you know, when we judge ourselves off of how smart we are. And when I took that SAT and made a 720, and I saw that little percentile, and it said, in the bottom 3%. Maybe you let that attach to you, and you go, not very smart. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's our abilities that we say that maybe that's who I am. And remember not being able to walk until I was 3 years old, when everybody else was walking at 1 and 1.5. And having a cast up to my waist. Maybe we look at who we are through the eyes of our ethnicity or our race. And we say, I'm better than them, and they are better than me. And maybe it's our parents. And when your dad walks out and you look at photos and you don't see not one photo with your dad, and you think he's just forgotten about you. Maybe you've been there. And when you think about who you are, there can be this diminishing effect. Maybe there's a flip side of it as you think about who you are, and you're the athlete or the smart person, and we can get a unrealistic viewpoint of who we are. And pride can come in. And before you know it, this has determined how we respond and we act in this world. You see, God wants us to know in Christ truly who we are, so that we now respond based off of that knowing. Look at this. Let me share some of these things that share with who we are in Christ. And these are just a couple of scriptures that we can think about. One reminds us that we are the children of God, that we are members of Christ's body and partakers of His promise, that we are the righteous and holy before God, that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, that our old self was crucified with Christ, and that we are no longer slaves to sin. and that we are God's workmanship created to produce good works. See, when we think about that, that I'm God's child, holy and beloved of Him, that I'm a member of His royal priesthood, of His holy nation, that I'm righteous and holy. See, I know Baptists, we like saying it, but I really need to flip that upside down. We are not sinners. We may sin. We may make mistakes from time to time. But as a child of the living God, we are the saints of God. And because we know Christ, we are no longer of them that are without. But I want to just take a moment and share what Dr. Kenneth Boyer, president of Reflection Ministry, stated about when we understand who we are. The more we embrace these truths from Scripture about who we have become in Christ, the more stable, the more grateful and fully assured we will be in this world. See, we appreciate things a little bit differently. We're more assured about our purpose and our calling and our walk in this world. Because I know that was one of the things that I was trying to figure out as a young man, a young believer, about what am I called to in this world? What's my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing for God? And it can be very confusing. Do I go this way or do I go that way? I just felt in my heart, God was saying, in the absence of knowing, be found doing. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God in heaven. That we all have an anointing, that we all have a power and authority to affect change in this world right where we are. If we let God do a work in us, if we remind ourselves who we are, whose we are, and where we're headed. So I want to just take a moment and highlight the difference between righteousness and holiness as we look at that scripture in Ephesians 4:24, because sometimes we can think that it means the same thing, righteousness and holiness, and in its basic foundation, yes, it can mean the living. How do we live? How do we conduct our lives? And that you put on the new man which was created according to God. So once we come to Christ, there is a putting on. There is a making decisions that we're going to wear the cloak of Christ in true righteousness and holiness. So as we look at that word righteousness, it has the basic idea of conforming to God's standard. When the standard is conformed to, the behavior, the thinking, the feeling is right. When we do God's will, when we do what God taught, we can feel it. You ever felt when you were outside of the will of God? How it felt? I tell you, before I was saved, I could sin and there wasn't a whole lot of conviction about it. I could do things that, you know, that afterwards when I got saved, there was something that just kind of kept tapping me. You been there? And it felt like there was a war going on inside me, that there was a desire to do right, but evil was right there, pulling at me. And so righteousness is when we do the will of God, when we continue to follow Him, we can feel His righteousness. We know it. See, all behavior that is consistently done in accordance with God's glory is righteous behavior. With God's perfect righteousness, It conforms to his highest standard, that yes, God has a standard, and God is requiring that his people live according to that standard. But see, it's so important to look at that word holiness and really grasp the meaning of it. See, holiness is being separated from and distinct from that which is ordinary or common. Righteousness, that we're following him, that we're doing those righteous, those right acts, and that we're righteous because of the blood of Christ that's been laid upon us. But holiness is that we're separating ourselves. That truly that word means to be dedicated or consecrated to God. That we belong to him and to him alone. That we're not double-minded, that we don't have one foot in and one foot out, but that we're separated from the world. See, righteousness does not have the basic idea of being separated and distinct from that which is common. See, here's a desire that I had when I was a teenager. I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be just like everybody else. But that was never God's desire for me or for you. He made you so unique. He spent so much time fashioning you that he wanted the whole world to see what he had done. And all of its glory and splendor. So think about this. Think about God's holiness. That God, like the rarest diamond that you could ever imagine, is absolutely unique and infinite and of infinite value. God is unique. There is no one like God. He is above all things. He is the Shura Generous, which simply means he's unique. He's distinct from everything that is not God. And therefore, he is infinite and of absolute worth. Now he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. That I am unique and that I am of infinite and absolute worth. See, holiness is envisioned as the intrinsic wealth, beauty, purity, value, and excellence of God. And that's you. He made you to be holy, to be separate from any other, to be consecrated to him, to be unique, to be of intrinsic value. And we don't do that being like everybody else. We do that by being God's wonderful and fearfully made children. And by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we look at that verse and we see it now. I've been set apart. I've been consecrated. I belong to God. And now I walk in righteousness. I walk according to his will and to his purpose. I know who I am. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what the world tries to throw at us. It only matters what God says about you. Because when we know what God says about us, and we know who we are, then things don't affect us the same way. See, there's a picture that I have never showed this picture publicly to anyone, but you're about to see it today. Because when I was a teenager, the last thing I wanted was somebody to see this picture. I never thought I was going to get a lovely wife with this picture. Because in 1987, we had them London fog glasses that was like car visors that used to come down. And I don't know what got into my head that I decided that I was cool that day. Y'all see that little look I'm making? And I had my London fog glasses on and took that picture. And after I saw that picture, I was like, I did everything I could to try to keep that picture from getting into the yearbook. But it made it some kind of way. But now I can look at that picture and say I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, because I know who I am. And so I want to share with you some other photos, because we just love Choice and we love all of our members here, and it's fun to just see how God has made us into great and unique vessels. Turn the lights out so we can see that more clearly. And so I like to call this one the I don't know why pictures. There's a little young lady, you see her head at the bottom of the screen, because our pastor knows who he is. It's okay that he puts the purse on his head and has a wonderful time with a little girl, sharing God's love and having fun over the McConnell's house, with a fancy purse that was given by the flowers. And it's a flowery purse, I'm going to tell you that right now. But when you know who you are, you can wear a purse on your head and it can still be fashionable. And when you know who you are, you can clown around and love on kids with balloons on your head, and it'll be all right. Ryan just loved that time being in Romania, him and Angela, and they made all kind of balloon items for the kids. And just as we were babysitting this day, Ryan stuck two balloons on the side of his head and just had a great time of laughter, because he knows who he is. And when you know who you are, when someone gives you a bunch of marshmallows, you'll still put them in your mouth, as painful as it may be. And it looked very painful. And the reality of it is, he was telling jokes the whole time. I still don't figure out how he was doing that. But because he knows who he is, Don had a wonderful time of just sharing God's joy and love with marshmallows in his mouth. And when you know who you are, even like some of your superhero fast speeds start coming out, and people notice that you can do flash kicking aerobic class with the best of them. And we know that Josh is our missions and outreach leader, and he was all in when we went to Romania. And one loved how he was so energetic in his responses and our drama. And you see there that leg, I think he's a part of the Incredibles family, because he's showing his speed. He just had to hold it back a little bit. But because he knows who he is, you can see all the joy that he had during that time. When you know who you are, then there's joy in worship. That you'll worship the Lord everywhere you go, at any time, at any place, and you'll give God the glory. And when you know who you are, you just want to make Choice great again. That's my favorite there. And when you know who you are, and you would think you'd never put glasses on again, but when you have the best deer that you could ever imagine. It's okay. So when we know who we are, we impact lives for God's glory. He gets the glory, not us. We're able to balance it out. We're able to understand that if it wasn't for him on our side, where would we be? And we can trust God along the way. So it's also important for us to know whose we are. Have you asked yourself that question? Who are you? Whose are you? Who do you belong to? Because when we think we belong to ourselves, we respond a certain way. But when we know we belong to God, that we belong to him. See, things in this world can seem overwhelming. I know one of the things that I went through is when I got saved, I didn't really have anybody around me to kind of disciple me or lead me. And I immediately left and went to another school, and I found myself by myself. And I started opening the Word of God and allowing God to speak to me and to remind me that I'm not alone. And many times it felt like I was just going through it and nobody was there. I had lost all my friends. They literally said, "What has happened to Jeff? He has lost his mind." My mother even asked me if I had joined in a cult. And then I saw it, people started coming against me and my faith. And so it felt like a heavy weight was on me. There was times that I felt unsafe, that there was no one that I could turn to. I felt like that I was not enough. I felt inadequate. And I even questioned if there was any place that I belonged. And I remember turning to the book of John and reading the 14th chapter. And where Jesus was saying that I'm leaving a comforter. And that comforter will guide you and teach you and lead you into all spiritual truth. The Holy Spirit is with you. That I am with you, and that I'll carry your burdens. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your souls. That my burden is light and my yoke is easy. Now remember reading those things, and how God was reassuring me and reminding me that he was there, that he hasn't left me. That he hasn't forsaken me. But we can wrestle with that. We can kind of go through those motions and feel like is there a place that we belong? And so we'll start looking for it in all the wrong places, maybe in our careers. In my career in the military, I tell you there were times that I had individuals look at me and say, "If you want to be successful, you have to do it this way." And there were so many worldly things that were said to me. And there was a pressing upon me to do it that way. And there were times that I felt like giving in. There was times I felt like giving up. And maybe you've experienced that. Maybe you've had those times. Maybe you felt like that you belong to the busyness of the day, that you just keep getting carried away with it. Or money, that bills keep coming, and there's more month than there is money. Or relationships that seem to just try to drag you and pull you away from God's will and God's plan. And maybe even those fears or your image. Maybe there's an image that you're trying to maintain when God is saying, "Let that go." And maybe there's even sin that's gripping you that you feel like you belong to it, that it has you. God just wants to break us free and make us understand that we belong to him. So here's what he says in Colossians 3, and then he also says it again in 1 Thessalonians, that you are loved and chosen by him. That you are loved by God. And that you are chosen by him. I needed to understand that. I needed to grip, really allow that to be down on the inside of me. And that I needed to know who God is. That we are the elect. That means God has chosen us. But who is God? That God is omniscient. That he is all-knowing. He knows everything. That God is omnipotent. That he is all-powerful. He's in control of it. You can trust him. He controls it all. That he is omnipresent, that he's everywhere and at all times, and that he's sovereign, he's self-ruled, he's perfect, he's holy, and he's just. And he loves you and has chosen you to be his child. Think about that. A God like that, who's all-powerful, all-knowing, he's everywhere. He's just, loving, and true, and he chose you so that we wouldn't fear the wiles of this world, that we wouldn't allow them to control us. Isaiah said it best in Isaiah 41:10. He says this, "Fear not, for I am with you. And be not dismayed, for I am your God. And I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear not. I'm with you. I'll uphold you. I'll strengthen you." My hand is strong. And so we know who we are. We know whose we are. And it's so important that we know where we're headed, that we're staying fixed on following God's plan, because God's plan is leading us to eternity. That is leading us to perfect righteousness. See, here's the understanding that we need to understand, that we're not fully righteous in this body. God declares us righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But there's a day coming that we will be fully righteous. The day we see him. The day we lay down this mortal body and we take on our glorified body. We'll be righteous. In every way, in every form, in every fashion. And so it's important that we be excited about that day. Of seeing him. Of understanding his plan for our lives. That it's a plan for eternity, not just the right here and the right now. See, there's a part of my life when I was about 2 years into being saved, I knew that God had called me to the ministry. I knew that he was calling me and wanting me to serve people, serve him and minister in a deliberate way. I've been trying to figure it out, and you know, which way should that be, what that should look like. And there's a formal way of this process that we see in our church society. And I knew that God wasn't calling me to that process. I knew that I was just like, man, Lord, this is a desire that you placed on my heart. I want to do this, but, you know, you have me in the military. You have me doing these things, and I believe that these things are important and that you called me to do them. But it's hard for me to figure all of this out. And so God was talking to me about that very point. Where are you headed? Do you know where you're headed? Now, don't get so fixated on the journey. Let me walk with you. Let me lead you along the way. Trust me. Trust in my plan. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. See, God was already thinking about this, already planning it out. I just didn't know it. I couldn't see it for myself. And so I needed to say, Lord, I'll trust you. Lead me in the way of righteousness. I trust you. And so I started with fourth grade elementary class. I went to my church and my first assignment, they had a meeting like we're going to have at the end of January, about knowing your ministry, seeking to get involved and volunteer, and I went. The very first day, I sat down in a chair, and they said, we need a fourth grade Sunday school teacher. I'd only been at the church for about a month. I still don't, looking at my hand saying, why is my hand going up? So for 3 years, I taught fourth grade Sunday school. The first year I taught fourth grade Sunday school, I had about 14, 15 Sunday school fourth graders. The next year, I had one every Sunday. There were two kids that came. One came one Sunday, the other one came the other Sunday. I'm sitting in there, and the Lord was saying, prepare like there's 14. Prepare like there's thousands. See, God was doing something inside of me. He was speaking to my heart about, if there's just one, would you be willing? If you believe that you're called, if you believe that you're supposed to be of service, whether it's one or 1,000, be of service. And then it continued to move from there. It continued to go in different directions that I didn't realize were going to be so. And somehow, some way, in 2011, after pastoring a church for 4 years, the Lord put on my heart and said, I want you to take another assignment. And you and your family is going to go back to Virginia. Believing that God was, I said, now is the time, right, Lord? Now is the time. I was saying that, right? And so we started a Bible study right here at England Run Library, believing that this was the ministry that God was going to grow, was going to birth from us. And we had about 10 come into Bible study there. And our kids were little. They were about 11 and 12, and we saw that, you know, they were missing some things. We bought a house down and built it, and I was riding down the road, and I kept seeing that choice sign out there. And then I saw the sign that said a garage sale. Came in, bought this 100-pound big tube TV. We still have that TV, and I still don't know why I bought the TV. And met this guy in jeans who helped me take it to the car with a couple of teenagers. And I could tell he knew who he was. He loved the Lord. And he was a servant of this church. I didn't know what servant he was. I thought he was the custodian. I was right. He was the pastor. And we started coming. And Pastor and I sat down and we talked about things when I first got here. And I told him what God had placed on my heart, the vision and the plan that I believe that he is calling me to. when we were walking through that together. And we saw God just make a beautiful thing out of our time and experience here at Choice. That's been more than we could ever have asked for. God has blessed us so tremendously through all of you. We've seen God move in a mighty way. But what's happening now is just that very point, trusting God's plan and not our own. Because my own would say, we got it good here. We got it real good. We just stay at Choice. Life is good. And he's using us. And he's blessing us mightily. But when we trust God's plan and not our own, we're willing to go the journey with him. When we know the destination, when we understand what he has for us for eternally, that scripture also, that last part says, to give us an expected end. In other words, that means a hereafter, that there's a whole lot more of time after here. But while we're here, are we willing to go on the journey with him? And so at the beginning of January, I brought in a letter to Pastor, and I said, Pastor, somebody said to me a long time ago, they said, stay as long as you can until you absolutely know you have to leave. And I believe that this is that time. And so that letter addressed several things, but it addressed a timeline of us finishing up at the end of 2018. And stepping down. Not because we want to, but because that's what God had just really pushed into our heart. That are you going to trust me? Are you going to allow me to lead? Or do you still want to lead? And I said, where you go, God, I will follow. And so Pastor looked at me and he said, well, what are you going to do? What's your plan? I said, I don't know. And he looked back at me and he said, what do you mean you don't know? And we started talking again, and more we talked through the year. And then the year got a little bit closer. In September, we formed a church. We informed the leader, first, that I would be stepping down at the end of December. And that was on a Sunday. On a Monday, I felt like God was saying, go and tell the staff and talk with each of the staff members. So I talked with each of the staff on that Tuesday. But on that Monday prior to that Tuesday, I was sitting on my couch and Pastor, I had talked about, well, what are you going to do many times? And I said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I started looking online. And I felt God saying, put that phone down. He said, don't try to fix it or don't try to make it for yourself. Let me open the door. Let me control this process. All I need you to do is be obedient to lay it down. So often we want what God has for us, but we're not willing to let go of what we have. And so on Monday, I believe God said, don't try to do it. Let me open the door. On Tuesday, I shared it with the staff. On Wednesday, I listened to Josh share the missions message of what God had placed on his heart about how we should be going and reaching out. And afterwards, I walked up to him and I said, Josh, good job. And he looked back at me and he said, Pastor Jeff, I've been talking to a friend of mine, and that friend of mine came a few months ago and heard you preach, and they're going through a search committee for their church, and he told me who their next pastor would be. And I said, oh, that's great. Who is that? And he looked back at me and he said, it would be you. And at the moment he said that, I felt God's presence. And I looked at Josh, didn't want to get ahead of God, and I said, we talked a little bit more, and we went to the side, and I said, Josh, I don't know a whole lot of things. There's only two things I know. is that God told me that it's time to lay down and be in preparation and ready for what he's doing. And then the only second thing I know is that I don't need to be trying to control it. I need to let him open the door. And as Josh was walking away, I looked back at Josh and I said, but what's the name of the church? He turned back and he said, The Open Door. We didn't catch it at that point. He walked away, I walked away, I went to my car. A week later, he came. Do you know? And I said, yeah, brother, I know. And so the journey that we've been on for the last few months is that I talked to the chairman of the search committee, and I submitted the information that they asked of me. And through their discussions and through their review of their search committee and coming here and all of the people that they've looked at, the search committee has recommended to the church that I be their pastoral candidate for the Open Door at Lafayette, Louisiana. Lafayette, Louisiana was not on my mind. But I believe it was on God's mind. And everything that we've been doing here and how God's been blessing us here at Choice, I feel it. I feel God has the same plan for the Open Door. And so in this week we'll be traveling, Melissa and I will be traveling to meet with the executive, the elders, and their family. And then at the end of the month, we'll go back to meet the entire church, and I'll preach there, and they'll make their final vote. But God already knows, and we're going to trust that. And we're going to walk his plan. It's so vitally important that we know who we are, that we know whose we are, and that we know where we're headed. That will make this journey all the better. That will make this life a blessed life. That will make what we do for God our highest calling above anything else. And the pictures and the things that seem to just get in the way and affect us, they will diminish. And the light of his glory will shine through. And so I leave these final words with you. First and foremost, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for allowing God to use you to impact our lives for his glory. But don't forget God's plan, that his journey is best and his plans are complete. His journey is best and his plans are complete. Let us give him glory together, because he is an awesome, infinite, all-knowing, wise, loving God, and he chose you. Amen. Let's give God praise. He's worthy.